Thanks for tuning in to the Metal Core Church podcast. This is like my, I don't even know which one this is, but let's get started, let's pray, and then we'll jump right in. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this podcast. Pray, God, that you use me to just speak on some things that are on my heart, and I pray, God, that you use this place as a beacon to draw people out of darkness and into the light, to show that there is hope, there is a path for everybody to get out of a bad situation if they truly come back and turn their heart back to you, God, and repent for all the sin in their life, God, that you're always there with open arms waiting for us to come back. And I pray, God, that this place would just be a place where we can reconnect our lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Ah, every time I pray, my eyes go blurry. My contacts, so give me a second. So, we always like to refer to this passage here in Revelation 12:11. Says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. When it says their testimony, it's the fact that the apostles had seen Jesus, and they took it to the grave with them. They were trying to get them to say that it wasn't true, because his body was never found. And we, as Christians, we like to use this verse also to share, you know, our testimony about how God rescued us from a life of sin and destruction. And I was looking at my, I did my own background check, and it shows like possession of a controlled substance and a bunch of other stuff, battery, assault with a deadly weapon, and basically it is a testimony of how God rescued me from a bad situation. Man, it's funny though, this managing a good reputation, it's so hard because there's so many voices that are coming, especially when you have the gift of prophecy, your mind is opened up to tensions. I'll be sitting in my room, on my bed, just sitting and thinking and checking my messages, and you can feel once you open up that gateway, in communion with God on a daily basis, you can feel the people trying to badmouth your witness for Christ. Basically, what it does is it prevents you from being able to be used by God. And the only way to counteract the reputation slander is by maintaining your position as a good Christian, as a good person, and not let that sway you from your walk, like getting revenge. Like, I know these people are talking bad about me, and now I'm gonna talk bad about them, or I'm gonna do something to get back at them. We need to maintain our firm foundation in Christ that keeps us level-headed, mature, making wise decisions and doing right. And you know, a lot of people want to pick at you so that you lose your way, so that they can, they're talking bad about you. They're like, hey, this person is a freaking drug addict, he stabbed somebody, he's worthless, you know, don't trust him, he's not really a Christian, he's just faking it, he could relapse at any moment. And then when you act out and you're like, you do something in revenge, then they're like, see, I told you he was a bad dude to begin with. And they use that as like their momentum, but if you never do anything to prove them right, then their words that are coming against you fall off. They don't stick because you never proved them right in the long run. For me, it's like, I don't know, people treat me like I'm Darth Vader. And I'm working extra and doing things for other people and trying to be a blessing, and then I try to be a blessing to somebody who puts the hand up to me like, we don't want blessings from an ugly person like you. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. I'm not trying to get anything. I'm just trying to be a blessing. I'm just trying to hook my friends up. But people don't want to be, they don't want to be hooked up by somebody like me. Which is fine. I mean, you get used to the bad persona, especially for like the persona for this, like a metalcore church. No one is gonna allow anybody who has some type of bad history to have a good persona because they'll always revert back to, oh, he did this. He can't be a good Christian. We can't accept him into the faith because of his past. We cannot let him onto a leadership team. We can't let him into the children's ministry. He can't do anything good for the kingdom of God because of his past. And that's what they'll say to you. But the truth is that anyone in, what is 2 Corinthians 5:17, the teen challenge. It's the teen challenge memory verse. It's the, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, and the new is here. If you give your life to Christ and you start being molded into a new creation, it says here, the old is gone, and the new is here. But, you know, the Christian want to get the highlighter and white this out because they don't want to believe that you're a new creation. We're just going to keep treating you like the old person. But the Bible is against that, especially for gossip. One of the things that happens when you come into the body of Christ is, who are you and what position do you play in the church? They want to pretend like you don't play a position in the church at all. You know, when you finally get your life together and you start walking in the ways of God, and the people who have been in the church for quite some time start talking bad, they start gossiping about you. They start talking about you without you present. And that is the first step to being disobedient to the word of God, because what does God's word say about gossip? I mean, I just Google this stuff. You just type in scripture about gossip. And it says right here, let's just go. First one, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to do evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Let's see, where is the, there was a better one. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from spreading. Speak evil of no one to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy towards all people. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. just, it's hard because you want to ignore and continue to walk forward. It's difficult. Because even as a Christian, when, you know, you could have a bad history and be a Christian. And you could be living the Christian life better than the people who never had a problem in the past. And they would still not accept you as an example of how they should be. Because in their mind, you'd never meet their standard of what a Christian is. But it's not our job to meet somebody else's standard of what they think a Christian should be. Our only standard is that we are growing in Christ and not being idle and moving backwards. When you feel like you've arrived at Christianity and there's nothing else in your life that you need to work on, because you've arrived, you've been a Christian for a long time, but they're not operating in the gifts, there's no prophetic anointing, it becomes like stale Christianity. And if you know anything about Christianity, it's like it's growing, it's a constant progression into sanctification of your life to become more like Christ. And to say that I have arrived is to say I am Christ, which we all know is not true. It's the farthest thing from the truth, because you are on a journey. But you are a you Christ. Does that make sense? So there are many brothers and sisters. And it's like a different flavor. It's like your own. It's not your own version. But it's you becoming Jesus. Like, oh, it's good. Because if you have a you version of Jesus and a female version of Jesus, and together, you know, you can defeat Jesus on the cross, but how many new Jesuses are scattered all over the earth right now? There's billions of Jesuses walking in the farthest reaches of sanctification and laying their lives down right now. People are being captured and beheaded and arrested and beaten and tortured and all, not because they commit crimes, but because they had a Bible on them, or because they were practicing Christianity, or they were gathering together in the name of Jesus. And in some places on earth, it's forbidden to gather together in the name of Jesus and to have church. We're lucky here in the United States, but not every other place is so lucky. It might cost you your life to give in. There's just like when you make it to the far reaches of sanctification, not everybody can agree with that level, because some people have this boundary like this is where Christianity goes. Anything beyond that is weird. So even most Christians draw this line. Like once you've arrived here, that you are a Christian. But if you learn how to walk in the prophetic and you end up a millionaire and you end up on national television, or if you end up being the advisor for the president, you've entered into the favor of God that is beyond what we believe is this line of Christianity where you should stay, where you shouldn't go past this point. You shouldn't seek out the gift of tongues because it's weird. And you shouldn't bring that into the church because it's weird and it's not normal. So this is the line that we've drawn in the sand. We don't want you to learn how to how to do the gift of prophecy, because that's too far down the rabbit hole. We want to make that, we want to keep you on this side of the Christianity line, and we don't want you to be more Christian than us. See, when somebody has been a Christian for a long time, but they haven't been reaping fields of goodness, what is they call it? Harvest, you reap what you sow. So if you sow good deeds, you're planting seeds in your field, and you keep on doing good for like a year or two, and you just keep on doing good. Eventually, those fields with the seeds that you've been watering and you've been doing good to others, eventually those seeds, they blossom and they give fruit, and you reap a harvest, a massive harvest from all the good that you've done, and it comes back to you, and then you have all this wealth. And other Christians are like, what are you doing differently that I'm doing? And, you know, you have to participate in the sowing into others. That way you can reap the benefits. But if you just are a Christian and you're not sowing into anybody else, then you're like just stagnant. You're not allowing new wine to be poured into you and pouring that new wine into others. And there's this huge battle with this because there's no unity. We don't want to agree that everything in the Bible is the standard. That's wrong. Oh, I said that wrong. If you read the Bible for yourself and you take the scriptures and you apply them to your own life, like there's multiple instances, and when you have enough word, so you read your Bible, you do devotions. It doesn't have to be morning. My schedule is so sporadic. But the more that you read and the deeper you put those scriptures into your heart, they come alive in your heart. And then when you get into situations, God will pull scriptures from your heart and they will cross your mind. You know how your blood kind of like flows through your body? When you're reading the Bible, it like gets into certain positions in your body. So as you're going throughout your day, you're getting into a situation and God will bring to remembrance a scripture that will have to do with what you're going through. And that's what they mean by the scripture becomes alive, because the more ingrained into your heart it becomes, the easier it is to follow. I meditate, there's a scripture that says, I meditate day and night on your word that I might not sin against you, because the more you have, the more that the shuffle comes to mind, and then you become like, you can avoid pitfalls and traps that the enemy has laid for you. I think that when you finally develop that personal relationship with God where you can hear God's voice, a lot of people don't even believe that you can hear God's voice. God always speaks through scripture, and his voice always lines up with scripture. It's not when you understand the character of God and the way that he is with discipline, and that character develops, you start to identify when you can hear God, when you're making decisions. And, you know, if you pause for a minute before making a decision and you think, well, I wonder what God thinks about this. And he'd respond like, maybe you shouldn't do that because of this. And some people don't want to agree that, like, for example, we say God only speaks through scripture. Well, how do you explain the guy who almost got killed? He was driving. It was a green light. And God told him, hey, stop at the green light. And he's like, well, it's green light. Why should stop at the green light? And then he hears it a third time, stop at the green light. The guy stops at a full green light. getting honked at by the guy behind him, stops at the green light, and a guy runs the red light at the same time that he stopped at the green light, he would have died. He would have been killed. The guy was going like 65 through the intersection. He's bottomed out, scraped the dip on the other side. It would have been over for him. But some people don't want to believe that God can speak outside of his word to tell you to stop at a green light. To tell you, hey, you shouldn't go to that party because something is going to happen that's bad. And it's going to involve you if you're present at that party. You know, and a lot of the stuff is the devil plotting against you too. Like, there are some traps that people, you might think that you're a part of a cool group of guys that like to drink and hang out on the weekends, when really you are the target of their game. You're the butt of the joke. So the invitation, hey bro, we're going to hang out tonight, we're going to have a good time. Yeah, pick you up at like 8. And you got to be like, if you go, right, then they're setting you up to get hammer drunk. And they're going to like rob your car and steal your phone. Or, you know, they need you to show up because you're the only person with a car. It's a big, giant, you wouldn't even think. And all you had to do was listen to God's voice when he said, hey man, it's not a good idea that you hang out with these guys because you feel like they're your friend and they make you feel good. But in all honesty, you're the target. You have a blessed life. You have the calling of God. There's something about you that's different from us because we don't have a conscience like you. We don't have a lot of things going in our life like you. And so you become this target of the enemy. And the enemy only has pain to offer. Only, what is it? John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And there's a lot of things that can be involved. But I want to make sure that you guys understand that God has your best interest at mind, and he wants what's best for you, and he doesn't want to see you throw away all the good opportunities that God is making. Maybe your group of friends know about an opportunity that is coming to you, but if they make you look bad on social media by getting you hammered and taking you out, and if they can slander your name and get you to say things that you don't mean while you're under the influence, they use it as like ammunition to keep you from getting ahead of them. There's this huge hater culture that's going on now because nobody is okay with somebody else doing better than them. And I tell you, when you start serving God, you advance. When you start listening to God, you start getting ahead, and other people can't handle it. They can't handle you getting ahead. They can't handle you living better than them in a healthy relationship, not a toxic relationship with your significant other. They can't handle you having a better life than them. And some people will attack you, and you need to have this armor of God, and you need to have the seal of protection that is going to keep you out of bad situations. There were a lot of times where I believe that God kept me out of some bad, even in my full addiction to methamphetamine, it increases your sex drive like crazy. And I had these guys that were with me, and they were like, yeah, you should sleep with this girl. She was like a solid 10, and they were all like, yeah. And I could hear the Holy Spirit tell me, bro, it's not a good idea to sleep with this girl. And I'm like, not even serving God, but like I had given my life to God in the past, and I could still hear God tell me, hey, Joey, it's not a good idea for you to sleep with this girl. And I'm like, why? And she has a disease, and they all know she has a disease, and that's why they're all egging you on to sleep with her. And by me not sleeping with the girl, it's like this chaotic, they don't know how to deal with themselves because they had planned to set me up to ruin my life in the future. Don't let the enemy steal from you. Not one more day. Don't let the enemy make you look bad. You have to be on guard. You can't really be idle because there's always... people who don't... they don't want to submit. They don't want to deal with all the issues in their life. They want to keep on running and having a good time and party and woohoo. And I'll tell you, man, addiction is a lie of the enemy, and that party is a lie of the enemy. There's nothing good that the devil has to offer. Anything that doesn't line up with God and His plan for your life is designed, secretly designed, to infiltrate and ruin your life. And the devil wants to steal all the blessings that are, like, especially when something is on its way, like God has ordained angels in certain areas to develop a blessing that is going to come into your life. And the devil knows about it. And so the devil is going to work against you being in that position to receive what God has for you. I don't know what the opportunity would be, but there's an opportunity and it's coming to you. And if you just stay doing right and applying God's word to your life, and you stay faithful in the path that you're on, and you don't do anything that might remove that God from you, and you just keep, you know, if you fall, then you ask for forgiveness and you keep on going forward, but you don't, like, well, today I'm going to go spend time with somebody who's not really a Christian, who doesn't want anything to do with God in his life, but he's a good friend of mine, but I'm going to go spend time with him. And I'm going to tell you that it's not a good idea, because the influence is always against Christianity, especially when you're hanging out. I mean, when was the last time you hung out with somebody who was going to lift you up? And it's hard, I'm telling you, it's hard to find people like this. Because when you do finally find somebody who is a good influence in your life, they're not going to be the same age as you. I guarantee they're probably going to be older, maybe 10, 12 years older than you. Finally, somebody's in my life and they want to influence me to do, they want to influence me to do good. If I start acting out, they correct me. You know, that is a good, healthy, working friendship. But when you're hanging out with people your own age, 2 to 3 years age difference, and the only thing on their mind is having a good time, having a good time does not always include making wise decisions, making or working towards a long-term goal. It's more of like, how can I get you to make foolish decisions? And God is, now is not the time to be making foolish decisions, because everything is being recorded. And when I was in high school, nothing. So all the bad is that we did back in high school has been wiped. Because now is the age of the cell phone, and you're going to make wise decisions, unwise and foolish decisions, and the whole world is going to see it. And I want to spare you this. You got a good life ahead of you. Don't let foolish decisions and foolish people influence you giving up your dreams. I don't know why I had to, felt like I needed to say this, but I just feel like God wants you to know that He's got a plan for your life and not to move outside of His will because you could postpone your blessing. And that is the worst. See, when you get off course, like if you're driving and the GPS says go straight right here and instead you make a right, you're going to add 5 to 10 minutes onto your destination. But with God, this is like a lifetime. So you could be adding 10 years. Moses and the Israelites wandered in the desert for 40 years, and Moses died before he was able to enter the promised land because he disobeyed God. Now, I'm not saying you're going to die in a wilderness, but if we keep on messing up and walking outside of God's will, it's going to be a lot longer before you enter that promised land. God has a promised land for you, and it is a good promised land. It is flowing with milk and honey. It has children in your future. It has a beautiful wife in your future. Can't keep hanging out with people who think it's fun to get foolish. But let me tell you, there's another thing too, especially with finances, because the root of a lot of stress in people's lives comes down to finances. And I tell you, you gotta just do it blindly. You can't look at a church as an abuser of money, because tithing is not about how well any church is doing. Tithing has nothing to do with irresponsible church leaders. It has nothing to do with, you know, people in the church who have done you wrong in the past. If your church is very wealthy, giving tithe money has nothing to do with how wealthy your church is. Tithing is about you being obedient to God. Are you going to be obedient with 10% of your money? Are you going to be obedient, or are you going to use the church faults to prevent you from being obedient to God and giving 10%. Now, there's a lot of people who are like, it's Old Testament, whatever, but I just know that by taking the first fruit of my money, or I just, you know, I give 10% of what I make. So when I make money, I give the 10%, and I don't use the church outlook to dictate my obedience to Scripture. And a lot of people do, man. I've heard every excuse in the book. They have enough money. They don't need my money. You know, I don't have to give 10%. I gave them 20 bucks. Or I gave them 40 bucks. You know. But the paycheck said 1,000. You got 1,000 bucks. And you gave them 40 bucks. Is that 10%? No, that's not 10%. That's 40 bucks. Well, I don't really follow the Bible like that. But that is your, it says in Malachi 3:10 to test God in the area of tithing. So give 10%, and then at the end of the pay period, check to see if all your bills had been paid and all your expenses had been met to the T. See, it's funny because when I give 10% to the penny, right, all of my expenses get paid to the penny. And I was like, well, God, I would really like some extra money. You know, I just, I'm all my bills are getting paid, but I got nothing extra. And God was like, well, why don't you tithe a little extra? And I was like, okay, let me round up then. Instead of 10% off, I think I came out to like 11 or 12%. I didn't pay that much over. I can't afford 15%. But I was like, okay, I'll pay like a little bit. I'll round up the difference. So if it's like $87, I'll shoot 100. So I started tithing and rounding up to the difference. All my bills would get paid, all my finances and all my expenses would get paid, and I would have a little extra money. And I was like, that is so crazy how that works. And people were like, I don't know if I can keep doing this Christian thing because it just ain't working and I'm really struggling with money. You're really struggling with money because you didn't put God first and you didn't put that 10% first. When that and the 10% is not about the church body. A lot of people want to say, well, the pastor, he has all of this stuff, you know, he has a big house and a nice car and I don't, and I don't feel like I should give to that pastor because he has everything he needs. But again, it's not about the church. Tithing is about you being obedient. God never misses a beat. He never miss. His math is so much more perfect than ours. I was like talking to God about how he calculates a like a refund, man. And God is like, well, man, I take into account like if you're doing something for the kingdom and you use your gas and you use your time and you sweat and you work hard and you do things without being told, like all of it goes into account for with God. Everything, every penny, God does not miss a beat, man. If you give somebody $20, God has not forgot about that $20. You might be like demanding, hey, you remember that $20 that I loaned you? I'm gonna need that $20 back. I'm telling you, man, if you do it that way, you're not gonna get a reward. You need to give and not expect anything in return. And it goes into God's account for you. So, and you don't even know the future, but God does. And when that need, when some need comes into your life, when you need that money, God knows, and he'll refund the 20, pressed down, shaken together, and whatever that means. It couldn't even be a 20. Like, it could be as simple as the dog chews up the power cord to the computer, and the cord is $20. And all of a sudden, somebody shows up like, hey, bro, God told me to bring this power cord over. It's just an extra one I had, I don't know. And you're like, my dog just chewed my power cord to my computer. But you never experience that kind of supernatural need meeting in your life if you always wrestle with God about 10% of your money. I'm telling you, it worked in my life. It'll work in your life. It works the same for everybody's life. But if you refuse 10% and you don't think that you need to calculate it off of your income, you won't, you know. And it'll never look like enough either. The devil will always make it seem like you do not make enough money to tithe 10%. That is a flat out lie of the enemy. You do make enough to tithe 10%. You could even, I started to, I've been tithing 10% for a long time, and I've been using it as a standard of measure to realize, to reevaluate what things I'm spending money on that add up to more than 10% of my income. And God will show you like, hey, you spend more than 10% of your income on that. Yeah, and it's funny because God will also help you organize the rest of your finances when you put God as a priority finance in your life. All of the other finances in your life, God seems to orchestrate because you have said, I have given control over my finances to you, God. And when we know when you put God first, and when you give God control over your finances, which we so often mess up and make a big deal about and let it steal our joy for weeks to come, trust God with your finances and let the burden be lifted off of your shoulders. If you can't trust God with your finances, how are you going to trust God with your life or with a wife? Or you gotta start somewhere. Start trusting God with your finances. And then trust God with your reputation. See, I struggle with that too, because it's like, my reputation is just bad all around. But I trust that by me staying plugged in and keep on pushing forward in the faith, that God will shut the mouth of the enemy against you. That any... Man, I know I got one more scripture. Let's see. Okay, let's do this one. Let's try this one. It's Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. Man, that hit good. That's good stuff, man. So not only will you prevail, like I said, when you're serving God, man, you prevail. And people try to set these traps for you, and you will not be able to be brought down. And everybody that speaks against you, that accuses you of all this stuff, you will refute. This is our heritage as a servant of the Lord, and this is our vindication. I'm telling you, you get in line with God, nobody else is going to be able to pull one over on you. And even if they do, you still come out on top. God does not let us, as a Christian, trying to grow in the sanctification process by reading the word, by fellowshipping with other believers, by attending church regularly, and spending some time in prayer, God will seem to work everything out in your favor. And then when people try to discredit you, to discredit your witness, to make you seem like you are not who you appear to be, God is standing alongside of you. But when you make the conscious decision to step outside of God, the enemy has permission to wreak havoc in your life. And God is using me to tell you that it's time to step out of that. You could still be rowdy and have a good time and have fun away from the cruel intentions of others and the jealous oppression that is targeting you. God is going to get you into a new position. And we got to stand up for what we believe in, that sin is wrong. You know, and sin is destroying your life. Sin is pleasurable for a season, but in the end it bites like a viper. And it poisons every area of your life. So make the decision today to get out of that. I don't know who this is for, but you got to tell them, look, man, I'm okay on hanging out for a little bit. I'm going to do me. I'm going to get some things right in my life. and just let it be. Thanks for tuning in to the Metalcore Church Podcast. I hope you enjoyed all the mumble jumble I speak. I just hope that you got something. God's good. And keep tuning in. Thanks.